the winning sound of Network Sports. The winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with our good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, the West Indies continuing to lose matches. And I'm going to sing again. Lord, send an answer for we like the mighty Gabby. Now, Darren Sammy, the last 23 games. Listen to this. 18 losses. Wow. And President Shallow says he's got 100%, no, I think 150% confidence in Darren Sammy. Wow. We shall discuss him and other issues on Mason and Guest tonight. The answer we're asking from Kingston, Jamaica to Bridgetown, Barbados. Where do we go from here? We're going to get reaction, hopefully from Jeffrey Dujon. Of course, Kieran Paul has already joined us. We hope also as well to go to Australia and talk to Jeff Lemon, because we want to get an Australian perspective as far as the cricket is concerned. And I note with interest that the Emancipation Cricket Festival starts in St. Vincent, yes, on July the 31st, and it will end on August the 3rd. And I note the opposition leader is saying no to the whole business of making those legends citizens of St. Vincent. I saw that story breaking this afternoon. I called the opposition leader, but I'm not able to reach him. I hope by the end of the program we could speak to Dr. Godwin Friday as to why he would abstain. Those legends are going to be arriving very much in St. Vincent. I think some of them tomorrow, and we look forward to their discussion. It's going to be cricket as a public good, I'm told. And certainly I'll be there as well. I've been invited to go off to St. Vincent. I'm going off tomorrow, and I look forward to hearing from the legends. But I also want to go down memory lane as far as those legends are concerned. Kieran Powell is with us. Of course, we also want to hear from young Joshua Dorn, the Barbados captain. Gentlemen, I know that Jeffrey Dujon is a very busy man there in Jamaica, maybe preparing for the elections, which I understand is going to be called just after independence on August the 6th. Hello, Jeffrey. Before we go to our panel, how are you, my friend? Jeffrey?
I'm good, Andrew. And you?
I'm good. And the West Indies team is not good. Is that right, Jeffrey?
Well, I was about to say I'm good, considering.
Now, Jeffrey, talk to me. What can we do about all of this? I want to get your view.
Well, Andrew, to be quite honest with you, I don't think there's anything that we can do about it immediately. This has been coming for some time, and every time we seem to be making a little bit of progress, you know, something like this happens. The latest exhibition of nepotism has now put us in a position where, I mean, where this is worse than embarrassing, you know. when we look at the kind of cricket we're playing. I must give credit to the bowlers, to be quite honest, though. I think the fast bowlers have acquitted themselves quite well. But, boy, that's about it.
Mm. When you say nepotism, you know? What do you mean, Jeffrey?
Well, I think, you know what I'm talking about, Andrew. The new administration, they've gotten rid of, across the board, of a number of people. They've replaced them. And, the results haven't been that great.
Mm, I see. So,
we spoke some time ago, and I didn't want to seem nationalistic because I'm not. But I still can't understand why Andre Coley was replaced.
Mm.
And, you know, all of a sudden, we have a coach for all disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, a sole selector.
Yeah.
So you tell me something. Which other country has ever done this?
Mm.
So we are the only one. We are the only territory who have a genius who can have control of everything, and as well as our destiny in the game.
Mm.
This doesn't make any sense to me, Andrew.
Mm. So you think it's to revert to what happened before, where you have selectors around? Three or four selectors plus the captain?
Well, everybody else does.
Mm.
And it seems to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about now the quality and objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're looking at here now.
Mm.
I mean, this last move here, quite honestly, to me is a piece of foolishness. You know, and since then, and since the debacle of this last.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey, are you just before Dr. Ford, before he comes in along with, of course, Basil Butcher? No, fellow Wallace tonight. There's a big AGM. But by the way, Jeffrey, you know that fellow is running to be president of the BCA. Did he tell you anything, your good friend fellow?
No.
We don't hear you, Jeffrey. You seem to have gone to. Not so good. Keep going at it. I'm sure it will get better. Yes, Jeffrey. Jeffrey.
Right. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Continue.
I was with Conde Riley on the weekend, and he told me that that's how I knew, actually.
Oh, I see. Well, we wish him well. Just before Dr. Ford comes in, President Shallow says he has 100% support in Sammy. Do you think that the head should roll, Jeffrey?
Yes.
No. Could you explain?
Yeah. Well, for the simple reason that Darren, listen, I have nothing personal against him, but he should not have control of, he has proven, not proven to have the capability to be in control of all three forms of the game. And remember, you know, this is about taking us forward.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Making us better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that whole process makes sense in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to, my answer to your question would have to be it.
Just before we bring in Dr. Ford, I know your time is limited. Dr. Shallow also said in the show 2 weeks ago that the reason why Sammy is being criticized is because he's in Lucian.
Well, that's all deflection, Andrew. And it's all been deflection, this thing about having Lara and Sir Viv and Clive Lloyd. You know, it's all deflection. That's what it is.
I see. All right, Dr. Ford.
Excuses.
Dr. Ford or Basil Butcher, any questions for Jeffrey before he goes? Dr. Ford?
Hi, good night to the panel and to listeners. Jeffrey, we've been struggling for a long time, and I do take the point that maybe the present coach isn't the greatest coach in the world cricket. I also understand the difficulties that we have. But let's say, let's look at a Shubman Gill, let's look at an Athanase, youngsters that would have had similar potential at a given age. You can look at a Darren Bravo or Steve Smith. Our cricketers just haven't developed. And, you know, these are cricketers that have 10 years between them, those two examples. So, Jeffrey, I know we can bash and roll heads from, we've been rolling heads for about 30 years. But the thing is, why aren't our cricketers developing and keeping pace with cricketers of significance around the world?
Well, there's, Doc, I think that there's been a deterioration over the years, ever since the 80s, when the core of the team were real professionals playing in England. We haven't done anything as they were, you know, phased out. We haven't really done anything in the Caribbean to make up for what they learned in county cricket, you know, the professionalism, the discipline, you know, that sort of thing. And hence, the standard of our local cricket has gone down. And so if you know, we're really picking the best of a pretty poor bunch. And this has been going on for some time.
Jeffrey, we are soon going to be playing India and New Zealand. These are two prospective series of great importance and against teams of significance, which we may lose. I want you to really project what losing to India and New Zealand would mean, because I think it may solidify us as minnows if that does happen.
Well, we're pretty close to that now, Doc, I would think.
Wow.
You know, but you know, let's say I wouldn't give us any great chance against India. India are a top team. You know, New Zealand have been playing some very good cricket over the years and competing with the bigger teams. So in terms of what we have produced to date, I'm not very hopeful. You know, right now, I would really like us to find somebody that we can beat.
Well, I think we did that for a while, and that's how we got a T20 ranking from where it was up to number four, which was a false flag significant improvement.
Well, Doc, you and I are going to diverge here, because T20, I think, is what has affected us, you know, among the other things, as what has affected us most.
Can you explain?
No, I just meant in the sense of finding people to beat, but
not in terms of finding people to beat, in terms of the type of cricket that we are playing. You know, I know T20's international significance with, you know, the finances, the money spinner, all of that thing. But it's not really doing anything for our cricket. You know, limited over our test cricket. I think that is a big part of the problem. And I don't think the players are as committed to the longer game, because they make more money playing the shorter game, and they don't really have to improve.
What do you think of Brian Lara's suggestion that playing international cricket for the West Indies is an audition for franchise cricket now, presently?
Well, we don't agree on a lot of things, but I agree with that. Because it doesn't take, if they, you know, do pretty well on the international circuit, the next thing you know is that they're gone off, and then you get the other problem where they're not available to play for the West Indies because they're making more money somewhere else. You know, so how are we going to solve that problem? You know, that's the big question. You know, that started with the signing of an MOU that was pure madness with the Players Association. One that they're sticking to because it suits them, but it's not helping our cricket at all. I mean, that's one aspect. our cricket is not going to get better until we get better fundamental coaching for our youngsters, where they learn the game, not just be coached, but be taught how the game is played. Because we're being outplayed by everybody because they think more than we do.
Yeah, they do. That's very true, Jeffrey. Very true. By the way, just before Basil comes in, I'm told that meeting, Jeffrey, with Sir Clive, Sir Viv and Brian Lara is going to be held on August the 8th in Trinidad. A little birdie told me that. They didn't invite you, Jeffrey. How come?
Come on, Andrew. I just carp and complain. I'm not among the elite.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, the first indication was when they dropped you as a commentator. Anyhow, Basil, you want to say hello, Jeffrey?
Yes. Good evening to the panel, and good evening to your listeners, and good evening to Mr. Dujon. I would like to hear some of your ideas, and I think someone like you should be in that meeting. Because one, your experience as a cricket coach and your experience as a player, so you have an advantage over most of your colleagues who you played with in terms of that, and you was once a trainer of the coaches. But my question to you is, as you stated, the deterioration of our club cricket, etc., and so on. What are some of the ideas you think that we could start to implement to bring those standards up again to where it used to be, or somewhere in the vicinity in our halcyon days?
Good question. Jeffrey?
I think it's very simple. And if we were to start now, I think in about 5-6 years, we would have a really good youth team and some really potentially good players. We need to invest at the lower levels. We need to invest in a serious way at the lower levels. We need to find good local coaches. From what I'm seeing, they don't seem to be very many. If not, we have to go and look outside. And we have to use international best practices to develop our players. You know, it's going to take money. It's going to take an investment. It's not going to take more competitions, which is what has been going on. It's going to take a serious fundamental investment. Either regionally, which would be very, very difficult, or we've got to find a base where we can have these youngsters over extended periods. The age group is very, very important. You know, I think we have to start at the 12, 13-year-olds, that sort of thing, and really, you know, get into the very basics of the game so they understand. I watch some of the series here, and I saw batsmen out there, and they didn't understand what the opposition was trying to do.
Ooh, wow!
You know, there was, and the Australians are very good at misdirection. The captain, especially, who I think is a very smart bowler. You know, I watched,
right?
And I say to myself, does this guy realize what they're trying to do? You know. And it's you know, stuff like that. You have to, you know, game awareness, that sort of thing. This is something that has to be taught. You know, ball skills are there and you can develop on them. But game awareness, the ability to compete, the ability to be proactive at times when you want to change the game or try to change the game to make the opposition think, all of those things are missing.
I see. All right, Jeffrey,
in my humble opinion, because I was invited to the powwow, which is really a lot of smoke anyway. You know, that's another smoke trick.
Just before you go, Jeffrey, I just want to just bring in Kieran Powell. You've listened closely to what Jeffrey said. Former West, would I be right in saying you're a former West Indies cricketer? Powell? Would I be right in saying that?
You muted Kyron.
Kyron?
100%.
You don't...
Yes, he's immortal as well, you know. That's what I call him, you know.
Yes, indeed.
We actually have an appointment shortly.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we do it.
Are you going to be planning the next date for the elections in Jamaica, Jeffrey?
No, just leave me out of the politics.
All right. Just before you go out, I just want to bring Anchor and Paul. Any reaction to anything that Jeffrey said?
No, I think what Jeffrey is saying is nothing that any other past cricketer wouldn't have said. But I don't think that our voice is particularly welcomed, as Jeffrey could allude to, probably, well, definitely a lot more than me. But, you know, I think in an investment into the youth structure, especially the right types of coaches, because I personally think that the coaches at the regional setup right now are just not exposed enough or equipped sufficiently enough to actually develop players. So.
Yeah, that's trouble. All right, well, Jeffrey, I want to thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. And just one final question. How do you feel, though? I mean, Jeffrey, you would have been in a time when West Indies cricket was so strong, 1980, of course. We went, 15 years without losing a series. As a former West Indies cricketer and a highly successful team, do you get emotional sometimes, Jeffrey?
Not anymore, Andrew, because, you know, after a while, your level of expectation falls, and, you know, you just say, well, here we go again, you know. But it's disappointing, and, you know, to think of how we were back in those days to what we are now, it's as if we didn't leave anything behind, and that's the most hurtful part.
Mm-hmm. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel, Jeffrey?
Well, if we do what I suggest, right. I think so. But we have to do it seriously. As we go along, the level of expectation is going to fall further. We're not going to get any crowds. We're not getting them now, you know. And it's the cricket will die.
Oh, the cricket will die.
Let's put it this way. We've been playing a lot of T20 cricket.
Right.
Because that is short attention span theatre.
Right, right, that's true. And we're going to the second tier as well, it would appear, Jeffrey.
I didn't hear that.
We're going to the second tier because I'm told that very soon an announcement is going to be made. I know when President Shallow was on the show, a couple weeks ago, he said no, but I mean, we had Chris Darren on last week, and it looked very much as if it's going to be, on our doorsteps, that we're going to be playing maybe against people like Bangladesh and even Morocco.
Well, our performances to date have eminently qualified us to do so.
Ooh! Do you support the West Indies playing second tier, Jeffrey?
No. No, it does. It's going to do nothing for our cricket, and we unless we play against the stronger teams,
right,
and learn from them.
Oh,
you know, I've never believed in this two-tier system.
Oh, I see. Well, Jeffrey, I want to thank you very much indeed for coming through. I'm going to send a check in the mail, Jeffrey. You should get it pretty soon. Thanks for coming and talking.
Oh boy, here we go again. Andrew, you just can't leave me alone, can you?
All the time, Jeffrey. Well, thanks. Next time I see you, I'll be in Jamaica in 2 or 3 weeks. So we're going to vote, and we're going to vote for our favorite party. Have a good evening, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Andrew. You take care, and thanks to the panel.
All right. When we come back, we got young Joshua Dorn in the line. We also want to certainly get some reaction across the Caribbean again. So we're going to certainly make a couple of calls. We're going to open the lines 44179. No fellow Wallace tonight. He's at that special AGM. As you know, the elections are just around the corner. And we're going to be trying to talk to some of the candidates. Hopefully, Jeff Broom's a little bit later on. And Hendy Wallace, and of course, our good friend Calvin Hope. We're hoping to speak to them. And I can confirm that next week, we're hoping to talk to an interesting personality who's running for the post of director. We're talking about Carlos Brathwaite. He confirmed this evening that he'll be on Mason and Guest. He's actually going off to St. Vincent to play in that Emancipation Cricket Festival along with Jamal Warwick and some pretty big names as well. What we're going to do, we're going to pause for a business called Dave Smooth, who is back in AC to win the crown. And, of course, when we come back, of course, we are going to be continuing Mason and Guest. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the good friends at ASF White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASF White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASF is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day, is the best shot of the day.
All right, 4417 90. You can maybe give us a call. We're gonna take those calls very, very early indeed. Just before we go to young Joshua Dorn, who of course is the highly successful Barbados captain. Just want to come to you, Kieran Powell. Are you surprised by this though? I mean, we performed very poorly in the Test series. I mean, although there were certain stages when we looked pretty okay, the one-day series, we looked okay. In fact, last night, one stage, chasing 170, Australia were, 60 for 4, they won 223 for 5. And I know with interest today, Samuel Badry coming out and talking about Che Hope's captaincy, talking about not being tactically astute. Well, I said that about 25 years ago. And, you know, I marvel when I hear that Che Hope is going to captain all the West Indies team. Che Hope can't even set a field. I mean, it's true. I mean, I'm sorry to say that. I've seen him captain the side. You know, Che Hope is tactically weak, very, very weak as a captain. Anyhow, I know that my very good friend Kieran Powell would never say that because he's worried about whether Mr. Hope will say hello to him. But let me ask the question before we bring in Joshua Dorn. Are you surprised by all of this, Kieran? I mean, we're playing so badly.
Well, Andrew, first, I would implore you to be very careful because my wife is Che Hope's agent and she's thinking I'm getting.
Oh, my golly. I withdraw everything I just said.
But no, on a more serious note, I do think it was a mistake to take the captaincy from Rovman as well.
Oh.
For the T20 side, I think that Sammy should have probably looked at things for a bit longer instead of making, I guess, so many wholesale changes across so many aspects of West Indian cricket. Am I surprised? Not necessarily. I don't think that the T20 team, the bowling, is necessarily the strongest, and I think that it's very predictable as well. I think I've been calling for the likes of Akhil Hussain to bowl through the middle, which he did yesterday. It was probably one of his best performances in a long time. You know, you can't just have guys doing the same thing and everyone knowing what's going to come, because then people are also planning as you're planning, and they can pretty much know exactly everything the West Indies are going to do. So I think that, you know, there are a few guys in that team that probably need to make way for some other young players coming through. I think I like the look of Blades. I think that obviously as he plays more, he'll realize, for example, something like if the ball's not swinging back like it did in the second game, he could go around the wicket a lot earlier to cramp the batters from having that room to hit over the offside. And things like that. But am I surprised? Not really. I don't think that the bowling of the T20 team is as strong as the batting side of things.
But who are some of these players that you think should go? I made a note when you said it. You know, I'm not going to let you get away with that. Come on, not a Mason and Guess.
Who are some of the players I think that should go? Well, I could tell you who I think should stay. I think Blades, Akhil Hussain, and obviously Alzari Joseph. I think anything outside of that, it's sort of a pick me.
What do you think of Jason Hole? Do you think he's in the November of his career?
December 31st.
Oh! Wow! That's a big statement to make on Mason and Guess.
Not really.
Can you explain that?
Well, after December 31st is a new year.
Oh, but seriously though, tell us about Jason. You think we should continue to invest in him? I mean, is he still got the goods to do it for us, Kieran? Tell me.
I mean, obviously experience goes a long way in terms of, especially a team like this that's lacking that sort of stuff. But if you look at, I guess, what's happening, Jason's not in the test or the ODI team. So if you're pretty much locked into West Indies cricket in any way, shape or form, I think that what's going to happen here is it's going to be up until the T20 World Cup. And I think that would be probably when Sammy calls it quits for Jason Holder.
Mm. I thought you were going to say when Sammy calls it quits. And then, you know, period. I thought you would say that. Yeah. So we got a couple of calls lined up. Let's take a call because I want to get to Romario Shepherd. And in 2 minutes, we're going to certainly speak to young Joshua Dawn. We don't want to keep him waiting too much longer. They're very soft-spoken Barbados captain, but a very, very serious man he is. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good evening, Your Honorable.
Hey, how are you?
There's always room for improvement, but I'm okay, thanks. And thanks for asking. I'm becoming weary.
Mm.
Profoundly weary.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, I can justify why I'm saying this. If I've come a long way and I see batsmen of all standard, the highest standard in the world, century, double century, bowling, pace like lightning, wicket keeping, fielding, this, that. And I just heard a gentleman, I think it's Mr. Dujon. I just spoke to a lady there and she said, listen, the problems in West Indies cricket is, I am worried about this coaching academy talk. I am not going to move at all until I'm satisfied and convinced that what I'm saying is foolishness. I am saying scouting for talent is the primary thing. When you get players that have got that kind of talent, and I actually mean, you don't have to worry about all this pretty coaching. She said to me, look, they want to get back to playing beach cricket. A lot of playing cricket.
Mm-hmm.
If a team just met 27, they're not young students, young boys. You wouldn't tell me they want a coach?
Mm.
The team just met 27. Now, pray tell me, what coach would that have? The Dipsy Doolin around the current West Indies situation is precarious. You Dipsy Doolin around before you hit head on the nucleus and the kernel as to what need to be done.
Mm.
Those players there, the day they want a coach, the coach can help them from making 27.
Mm.
So forget that coach pretty tall.
Mm.
Get scouts that will get scout for the best cricket available. The cricketers,
right.
the keep your emphasis and your focus on raw talent. I suspect I can pass this life. And I ain't going to sit out in the cricket I see in the 60s, in the 70s again, you know.
Mm.
I would hear the thing that has to be so.
Mm.
What you would say, Mr. Mason, as an expert,
no, I agree with you.
Bring that wrong.
No, I agree with you. In fact, I want to thank you for your contribution. I remember the late great Tony Cozzi before he died. I was doing a match with him. Red Spur was part of that commentary. I think remember Tony said, you know, in that very quiet way, you know, boy, you don't think this cricket can come back? You know, we talk, and I don't think this cricket can come back in my lifetime at all. There was some match we were doing, they were playing so poorly. And Tony died in, 2016, May the 11th. And I remember, listening to him, and he made that comment. And, you know, it's true. I mean, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, it is true that we want to see the West Indies do well, but the reality is that we are really looking down the gun. Thanks for your contribution. We're going to take one more call before
Andrew.
Yes, Basil.
I just want to say something to what the guy talked about coaching. I think people really don't understand coaching. Every single world-class athlete in every sport has a coach.
Right.
It is quality of the coach.
Mm.
So don't knock down coaching per se.
Right. It's the quality. But I've got a question for you, Basil. Is the West Indies team coachable?
Well, I don't know these guys personally to say yeah or nay on that. Right? So the individual
I didn't think that would have been a difficult question.
No, it could be because part of coachable is your willingness to learn,
right,
to listen, to take critique, which is not personal critique, because all about you getting better.
Right.
So I can't make that statement blanketly because I don't know the guys personally.
All right.
I never interacted with any of them per se.
Okay, there's several calls. Joshua, we're going to come to you shortly. Quickly, let's try and get some of these calls out the way. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest.
Hi, good night, Mr. Mason. How are you?
Yeah, good night.
Mr. Mason, we just played 3 test matches against Australia. We bowled Australia on the first day. If we can't dominate, if we can't get on top of Australia, the second test for the same very thing. All 3 tests.
Yes.
If you win it for only last test, it will last 3 days. But what I'm saying, Mr. Mason, even for the T20s, right? The players that we bring in, I would, the same players that play in test match, I would trade with them. Them is young blood. And
young
you can bring back in, and you can bring back in Melly Jason Holder. And Russell, then it don't make sense again. Russell, that player, but they can't do foolishness. Mr. Mason, this is Jason Tony. I told you, West Indies cricket falling apart easy and close. Then the time he got a man behind you, all you can see, he doing two big glasses on, and he can't say a word. We call coffee. Yeah, and me, Mr. Reefer, Mr. Reefer.
Oh.
What are you doing, Mr. Sammy? What are you doing, Mr. Mason?
Well, you tell me.
That's what I want, James, you're ready for going West Indies cricket. It's gone too far now. Oh. And the president is West Indies cricket, going to control back and down, Sammy, on everything that he does. He won't again win it too.
Oh, my golly. You're very strident tonight, Don Mason. Thanks for your contribution. All right. You're saying something, Basil?
Regarding coaching, I haven't heard you question regarding our batting coach. Our batting woes, and he has been there for the last 2 years.
Do you think you know, I'm never afraid to get into this. Do you think he should be removed?
Well, it's all about results. You remember when we had Monty Desai? Yeah. That all the people want to chop off Monty's head.
Yeah.
And one argue that when Monty Desai was there as a coach, the batters did a better job than what's going on now. So if you're calling for his head, at that point, you got to say the same for the current one.
Okay. All right. I know there's several calls, but let's go. We obviously have to make sure that there's some variation. And there's good in West Indies cricket as well. The Barbados team successful. They went to St. Kitts recently, down to 19. Joshua Dorn, the captain of the Barbados team, joins us. A very quiet man he is. Hello, Joshua. How are you?
Hey, good night. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm not seeing your face, Joshua. Why is it that I'm not seeing your face? Come on, let's see your lovely face.
On the camera.
That's it there. Hey, how are you? You seem as if you're your way down to St. Lucie in the big Mercedes there. Is that true?
No, I'm just out and about.
Oh, you're out and about. All right. Don't tell us where you are, because you may get into trouble. Congratulations, young Joshua, on bringing the bacon home to Barbados again. You must be a very proud captain.
Yes, I'm very proud. You know, we did it last year, and it feels really good to do it again.
Right.
On the under-19 and the under-17 last year.
What's responsible for the success this year, in your view?
I think it comes down to the preparation prior to the tournament. You know, the coaches, Mr. Shane Dorich and Mr. Sharon Campbell, are just going through specific pieces that geared us up for what the tournament would have required out of us.
And you went to St. Kitts. How were the conditions there, the pitches and general conditions?
I think the pitches were pretty good. I would just say coming down to the end of the tournament, you know, generally get a bit slow, obviously, because pitches would have deteriorated a bit. But for the most part, the pitches were good.
Did people come and watch the games? I know some parents went down, and that's a normal thing with Bajan, cricketers. They get a lot of support, more so than any other country in the Caribbean. The parents definitely go and watch their sons play. Were there good crowds at any stage?
Well, I won't really say a good crowds, but you know, the Bajan posse has always met down and supported us. You know, a couple of the guys' parents came down.
I see. Now, just before Dr. Ford comes in, you played in 8 matches. Barbados lost 1 match. It was against the USAA. And that was interesting. And Chris Darin, who was on the show last week, said, look at the USA beat Barbados 307. They made you got bowled for 89. What happened in that game? Can you tell me?
Well, I just think it comes down to the fact that USA played the better cricket in all day. They utilized the conditions first up because the pitch is generally better in the first half of the game. Mm-hmm. So they utilized the conditions and we went to bat. We didn't bat to the best of our abilities.
I see. Dr. Ford, any questions for young Joshua Dorn, our successful captain?
Hi, Joshua. As a young cricketer in the region, what opportunities would you like to see for cricketers your age to develop and become international cricketers?
Well, I think with the introduction of the West Indies Academy, that was a good initiative, obviously from a regional standpoint, but I think from a territorial standpoint, being in Barbados, I think we need like a setup. We had the Everton Week Centre Excellence, but over the years that has not really flourished as it did before. So I think we need something for the fellas coming out to under 19 that want to play senior cricket. Because right now there's not really much after under 19. You know, fellas probably just going to play club cricket and what's not. So I think there needs to be some kind of program for the guys.
You see young cricketers like Bethel or let's say an Archer or you know some others opting to try to play elsewhere and they seem to develop more. How is there are young cricketers torn between trying to develop here versus trying to adopt another country, or that isn't relevant now?
Well, I think it's a good initiative because you know some fellas might not get enough opportunity in Barbados, so they might seek go to England or maybe Australia where they can play club cricket and look to develop the skills. You know, there's better facilities as well, and it's a chance to play in different conditions because it'll be better for when you get to the top. You'll already be familiar with the conditions, so it will not be anything foreign to you.
I see. Young Basil Butcher, Junior, any questions for Joshua before he goes?
No, he answered the question. I just want to congratulate them because I saw a bit of him against USA. It happened to be on the TV when we were playing a match there at Windward, so I saw a bit of that.
Right.
And I thought my USA boys would repeat.
And that didn't happen.
No, it did not. I would say though, there was a decision in that game that really pissed me off. Our best batter being out on a bomb ball. I mean, that was egregious as they could come. But all the best Barbados won. Better team won on that day.
Right. Joshua, we just want to talk about the finals, though. I mean, you obviously being defeated by USA won. You might have been a little bit skeptical, but you won in the end convincingly, restricting them to 212, and you got over the line comfortably. Tell us about that game.
Well, we didn't really study the first game against USA. We looked at where we could have improved, but it wasn't a case where we were rattled with the game. We believe in our skills, and the coaches backed us, the management team backed us to the LV line. So it was just a matter of coming on the day and executing our skills, because once our batting clicked and our bowlers were on, nothing sky's the limit for us.
Do you want to make cricket a career, Joshua?
Yeah, I want to make cricket a career. I want to play professionally. Ooh. Whether that be for West Indies or around the world.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't make it, any other thing you may want to get involved in? Or you haven't thought about that?
I think for now is going to be coaching.
I want to become
a coach if the cricket doesn't work out.
Well, I hope you become a coach pretty soon, because I think there should be a vacancy at the top. And pretty soon you may not make it because you're young. But the reality is, I don't know if Sammy really should continue. I mean, based on this, I mean, how can you just continue, you know, to be coaching? But then, of course, we don't have a culture in the Caribbean of resigning. Just before you go, Joshua, I want to congratulate you. I understand that a couple of players, yourself, young RJ Gittins, I'm sure his father is very proud and knows him well, Carter, Greenidge and Pollard are going to be playing pretty soon. Against, is it Sri Lanka? Is that correct? In the Caribbean?
Yeah, we actually received a call today that we'll be traveling to Antigua to play a series against Sri Lanka on LinkedIn.
Oh, say it again. So it's what? Dawn, Gittins, Carter, Greenidge, and Pollard? Those are the Barbadians? Have I missed anyone?
Dara, Greenidge, Carter, Pollard, Bell, and Gittins.
Oh, I missed out Bell. Okay. So you're going to where? Antigua, you said?
Yeah, Antigua.
And the tournament starts when?
I'm not sure.
Not tournament. When you got the call, were you surprised?
Well, not really. Kind of expected it because obviously I had a pretty successful unnamed tournament. So it was not really a surprise for me.
I see. All right. Well, I want to thank you. I don't know any final questions, Doc, for the young man. Or can we let him go? Anything quickly for the young man, Doc?
Well, I guess the more relevant question for someone this generation is how big is the lure of franchise cricket for a young cricketer?
How big is the lure?
Yeah, how the attraction? I mean, is that? You know, I guess in Basil's or Andrew's generation, people wanted to play for the West Indies to play Test cricket, but now there's international white ball cricket and there's franchise cricket. So I'm saying among your age group, people think of playing just franchise cricket alone and being relevant in that area.
Well, obviously that's where the money is today. And Some guys would more tend to go in that direction, obviously with the makeup of their games as well as a batsman or a bowler. But I think for me, my goal is to play professionally. So whether that be for the West Indies, franchise cricket, obviously for Barbados as well, when I represent Barbados. So wherever cricket takes me, I'll work as hard as I can to achieve that.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you very much indeed, Joshua Dawn, for coming through and talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I want to congratulate you, the Barbados team. I know how hard you work, and we really want to compliment those responsible, the coaches. I know Elvis Howard, who has been the chairman for a while. He must be a very proud man. And congratulations. Have a good evening, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. When we come back, Ronnie Clark is now in the chair. We're going to take some calls. We're going to certainly get some more reaction from our very good friend, Kieran Paul, who has got the WhatsApp lit up with that comment about Jason Holder. You're getting some stick there, and Kieran, I hope you can deal with it when we come back on Mason and Guest. Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, where the good friends at ASAP work rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it down, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASAP is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da.
All right, young Kieran Powell is with us, still Kieran. In terms of the West Indies losing, you said you're not totally surprised, but you know, let's look at some of the players. We haven't had you on, well, we weren't on for the Test series. Someone like a Craig Brathwaite. Played 100 test matches. Well, I mean, he didn't play in the Jamaica test match. What do you think? You think he should continue? Or should he have played in the last test, you think?
Well, should he continue? I don't know if that's necessarily up to him, because he didn't play in the last, as you mentioned. But I think that, because I think quite a few people would have heard whispers that they were going to probably give him his 100th test and then drop him after that. So, well, that's what I heard anyway. But I think that if that were the case,
So you actually heard that whisper?
Yeah, so I feel as though if that were the case, they should have probably allowed him to go home, because at the end of the day, this is still someone that's played 100 test matches for the West Indies, so there still has to be some level of respect. You know, it doesn't look good that you have someone with 100 test matches just carrying water. Like, it's not a tactical thing. I don't think West Indies cricket is at that point, so I think that there's some level of respect that should be had still. So it would have looked better if you put out any media spin and just said he had to go home for whatever reasons, as opposed to him just being there in a bit.
Doc, you agree with that?
The diplomacy of concocting a story to save face. Well, I'm always one for diplomacy.
Well said, Doc.
Which is my method, but I would say that my issue was that the changes made were for players that were inferior to the players that were replaced. And you know, if we accept that 80% or maybe 85% of the players that represent us are better players, it's, yes, we can improve on it. But I still go back to, you know, things being, the problem being much bigger than just dissecting the players and deciding who gets beheaded or replaced. And I know, Kieran, being a part of teams that haven't performed in the way that you'd have liked, I know that I still have to be empathic enough to understand that the players are trying their best. And especially as a non-cricketer, I can't put myself in the place of people like you who would have played at the highest level. And that effort, but just not coming up to the mark to be a number one player. So what I want to hear from you is what's the mindset? How does the player feel when they're part of a team that performs the way our team has performed over the last few decades?
Just to make sure we're getting this right, over the past few decades, it's gotten progressively worse. I've not been a part of a team that's made 27. I'm just going to say that. But
thankfully.
Exactly. But I think that, you know, different people handle it differently. It's not obviously something that you'd want as a player representing the West Indies, because ultimately you're not just representing yourself or your friends or your family or your island. You're representing pretty much every island, every person of Caribbean diaspora, whether in or outside of the Caribbean. So it's a massive undertaking, knowing the history of West Indies cricket and what that means to Caribbean people and black people on a whole. You know, obviously, when West Indies would have been a dominant force, it would have been a tough time for black people on a whole throughout the world. So it was sort of a uplifting movement for black people to be able to go to work and feel good about themselves, proud about what they're doing, knowing that we had probably the best cricket team to have ever played the game. So understanding that kind of history, it's difficult seeing and having played and experienced a lot of this as well. So as to answer your question, it's a very difficult task, but I do think that, you know, as much as it is a dire situation right now, that it can be turned around, but it just takes for the, because everybody is like, bad news travels fast, gets around the world before good news gets down the road. So, you know, everybody's gonna bash the team, and we know we're losing already. Like, we don't need to reverberate that sort of
jargon. Definitely. And since your wife is the agent of Shea, I think you should have had Shea in your members of the team that would. And
Shea Roston as well.
Oh, Roston as well.
And even
and a few others, but I know that that was an on-the-spot thing. But I want to ask you about the number of drop catches. I think I've seen West Indian teams do badly, but the number of catches we've dropped tells me there's a fundamental problem with the rudiments of cricket, because the chances were made. The bowlers did very well. I know that we have had difficulty batting for years because we haven't had a world-class test batsman. I don't know since how long, we could say maybe Lara, it may have been Sarwan, it may have been Gale or Chandrapal, but the drop catches, what do you think about, what do those all those drop catches say to you?
I think that comes down to a few things. That probably comes down to individual focus not being tuned in at that specific time, but that also comes down to, I guess, team environment and atmosphere. You know, they may not be, I guess, the best cohesive unit at this point in time. I mean, losing obviously impacts joy. You know, when you're losing, it's hard to wake up and lose again and then travel and lose again. And you have to hear it all the time. You know, it's a very negative environment. So I guess that could be sort of a spiral as well.
I see. All right, 441790. We can take some calls. Ronnie Clark. In the chair and on the air. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening.
Andrew, I listen to your program periodically. I don't listen every week, but because of this series had meant so much to the West Indian people, you, Andrew Mason, as the producer, the moderator to your whole program, you had this Chris Dearing on this program 3 times. You then put him on the microscope, like how you now put Karen Powell on the microscope. And your lead up to your program, Monday evening, where are we going to put this person on the mic? Chris Dearing came to this program after a year ago, felt that West Indies cricket should be shut down. And Dr. Ford, you can make your point. You don't have to keep making the point you're a non-cricketer. Chris Kane is a non-cricketer. I'm a non-cricketer too. But this started as far back as the World Cup. We went to England when Andrew Pipers was the coach. I didn't care if he was South African or from Zimbabwe or Australia. There was a person, a voice from the hill at KFL say we had to go back to the motherland. We had to go back to the motherland. We got rid of the Pipers who had turned the corner with West Indies cricket to bring Darren Sammy back around the cricket. Shallow 2 weeks ago was offensive to Darbin people, Andrew. Sir Clive Walker was the president of the West Indies Cricket Board and went on to be the president of the ICC. Shallow was disrespectful to Darbin people. But you know where they started, Andrew? Ernest Hillier. Politics. Hillier used Darren Sammy to promote himself. Where's Hillier today?
All right. Okay, 441790. Let's take another call. 441790. Hello, welcome.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night.
You said something that night, and the first time I agree with you. But hope cannot captain no team.
Hold on. This is the first time that you agree with me?
You criticize one all the time wrongfully.
Hold on. Give me an example when I criticize somebody wrongfully. I don't want 10 examples. I only want one.
Jason Waller.
What's wrong with Jason Waller?
The only thing you want to say about Jason Waller, why? You know why I'm ready? A gentleman come and talk with you. I didn't get to talk with you.
But
I think the meeting can talk with you.
Okay. Continue.
Let me tell that one straight.
Okay.
Now, I watch cricket. You just said, I told you, hey, you asked for it, just know who you would get rid of. You believe, Azari Joseph, I had Azari Joseph in the morning. Azari Joseph come and carry a mask, pitch up the ball and get your money caught in the air, and come out and bowl and go as a long hops. Come out. Last night, we had to bowl him off. We can do beat the difference.
No, we had to bowl him up with that kind of
career.
It was 60 for 4 and then 123 for 5.
That's the record. And tell you know that. Hope proved that. Can't captain the team.
But you only know that now. I knew that too.
He proved it to me last night.
I saw Hope captain the Barbados team in the 50-over tournament in Trinidad.
Let me finish that with you now. Right. And last night, I would have been engaged with 3 overs. Right. I'm going to get the same hole. I'm not going to say, two of the call, you're going to get another wicket.
Right.
I'm going to get the ball, and then get the whole thing. Maybe the one will pick somebody else. And you should come and get the wicket, Hussein.
All right, well, thanks for your contribution. There's several calls backed up. We're going to try to accommodate as many calls as possible. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello? Lord, send an answer for me.
Oh, is that Gail?
Yes, please.
Are you in Dominica?
No, I am here.
Oh, in Bank Hall?
In Bank Hall? Yes, I am here.
You say I know your business, Gail? Ronnie Clark told me that you live in Bank Hall.
And I have a distinguished guest who is here with me. I want to welcome Miss Dentist Jones from the...
Dentist Jones?
John, J-O-A.
Oh, Dentist John, okay.
Yes, she's my dentist when I'm in Dominica, so I want to welcome her to Barbados.
Mm.
But I'm glad for Joshua, and Joshua spoke well. There's two young people that I really love. That is, I don't care what they talk about, Jason Holder, Jason Love, and Joshua. I know Joshua. Joshua's mom is the sister, my adopted sister, I can't say, and he's my adopted nephew. And for a small
very
you
talented,
would always see Joshua.
Very, very talented you always, youngster.
You would always see Joshua from small coming to church and he have his bat and his ball. Very humble and he's growing. And so we are praying for Joshua. Well,
I didn't know he was a church guy. Which church?
Of course.
Which church? Your church?
He belongs to All Souls.
Oh, he's an All Souls man. All right.
Yes. Mm. And I know Reverend Ellis and all the congregation, we love that church. He was in Our Souls from
very young man, September 27, 2006. He can play again next year too.
Yes, and I hope that when you are doing good, they can give you legs. But we praying for John.
All right.
I want to say belated birthday greetings to Sir Gary.
Right.
And as you see, I can say the same thing. Lord, send an answer for me. I don't listen. I just wait till after it finish, and I say, I don't know what to say.
I know Cammy Smith's birthday is today. He's 92. He's the oldest West Indian cricketer alive.
He, with Mr. Hall in as old as him.
No.
Okay,
he's a baby. Yeah, Mr. Hall is a baby to Cammy Smith.
Okay. I heard about Mr. Smith for a long time. Anyhow.
Thanks for your contribution. Say hello to Dentist John for me.
Yes, I will let her know. She's smiling.
Oh, she is. Oh, she's with you. Okay, thanks for your contribution. Let's take another one. As it heads to 718 in the country. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Yes, Mason. I'm here. This is Stephanie Brooms.
Stephanie Brooms. Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good for now. You know what? I am so mad about West Indies cricket.
Tell me, Stephanie.
Because they are not together. You got to get disciplined off and on the field.
Yeah.
And that's what win matches.
Discipline?
Yes. We don't have it. When cricket done, one go on so. You will see three together, one together. We don't need that in West Indies cricket.
Mm.
We should be further. I used to go cricket years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had to get in 5 o'clock down to watch Australia and those guys. We need that cricket again.
Yeah.
We don't have this cricket around. And they're talking about Sammy. Put aside the coaches and whatever, right, Mr. Mason?
Yes.
And play cricket.
Yeah.
Let the guys get on. They have to really want to eat cricket, sleep cricket.
Yes, yes.
Play cricket. And you will see the difference in West Indies cricket. Once you got the right people there up there,
right.
Mr. Mason, you can ask Andy Akili about me when I was playing hockey for Barbados.
I know. Of course, I know you very well, Stephanie.
Serious
about it, Stephanie. Yeah.
See this type of cricket. We don't have this cricket no more. And it burns my heart to see Eddie when we get bullet for 27.
I could imagine. Stephanie, how you felt though? Did you cry when that happened, at 27?
The only thing I do is fall down, Andrew.
Well, let me tell you something. I was in Jamaica. I actually described the first three dismissals in the second innings, the first ball.
Yes, please.
And,
yes,
you know, after I came off, the Australian commentators, you know, Adam White and these guys were obviously, as we would say, palarking on the radio. And, you know, I was there with water in my eyes. I couldn't believe it. I was absolutely shocked by it, you know.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. I felt very emotional, I must admit.
These things make you go down on your knees to see what West Indies cricket come to. West Indies cricket was never like this. We were never, I got dead and gone, and we can't get back to the top.
Yeah.
But if we bring the right type of guys
right.
into cricket, you see the youngsters today?
Yeah.
They are the 19, and yes, some of them, all the other countries, bringing in on the 19 in the team. You Australian player, 2020 cricket. You see what the youngsters
Australia got? Keep exposing. Keep exposing them. And we continue with Evan Lewis and Russell and those guys.
We need that type of cricket, and we have bring in the youngsters.
Yes.
The youngsters with the experience.
Yeah.
They can't cheer it on. And grow them.
Yes.
And you will see what nice cricket we will come and have again. That's what I have to
Stephanie, it's an absolute pleasure talking to you. I know you would have played a lot of hockey for Maple and for Barbados. And what are you doing nowadays? Are you still involved in any sports, or you retired completely?
What I do nowadays, I just retire from work.
Oh.
So, yes, please. I just retire. So, what I had in mind that when I return, come home, they get a group of people to get, you know, involved that keeps the kind of the pastor. But you know, Andrew, some were here and some weren't here. The youngsters of today need
they need guidance.
Discipline.
They need guidance.
You see, discipline, that is the first thing we need in life.
I agree.
Discipline.
You're right.
When you got discipline, we go far.
Yeah, I agree. I can hear the emotion in your voice, Stephanie. Just before you go, Maple, your beloved Maple, are they still playing hockey down there?
Well, I get told my truth, right? Maple as a top team along with Empire.
Yes.
You the hockey going on the Astros, that would kill hockey.
Oh.
But you have to be up in the world with the Astros to become. Still, sometimes you should be able to got some competition.
Right.
They were going on like the Masters and the Mistress.
Right.
And on the faster, I let them come out again and sit down on the tree and enjoy that type of community spirit and sports.
Right.
We don't have that there anymore.
No.
Everything is on the turf. But as I say, you got to be up in the world with that agony. You know what I mean? But otherwise, Maple do good in cricket. Sometimes I just want to go down there with Maple. Yeah, then Maple should have won that game, the cricket game.
Yes.
And I could not believe.
Yes.
But sometimes I just stand home and listen.
Yes.
If we can't get down there,
you
and
listen.
I can't believe. And all I know is Sayaka and those Sayaka. Fellas in Nashville.
Yes.
And all those guys that be real angry.
I would think so. Sayaka's a wonderful man. Yes, I mean it, man.
Yes.
The days that Maple was Sayaka and Greater Nashville, huh?
I tell myself. Sometimes Maple is trying to rest in the city too. You should be winning, don't
winning.
After adding somebody for one and a couple over, you should have won that game.
I agree with that. In fact, there was a game earlier, Stephanie, they played against St. Catharines, my team. And St. Catharines made 67. I think Maple could make them. Andy Payne cried that day, my good friend Andy Payne.
I know that, Mr. Mason. They were good teams.
Yes.
Catherine and Maple in early times. We used to left and go all those places.
Yes.
And watch cricket, and cricket was nice. And lovely. I don't know what's wrong with the cricket.
Yes.
What do you feel wrong with the cricket? You feel we need people from overseas to come and coach West Indies cricket? We have good players here.
You used to play cricket,
can be coaches.
You made a point about discipline. You know, discipline is a word that we use loosely. But it's one of the most important words in the world, you know. Because if you don't have discipline, boy, you don't have a lot, eh? Discipline is the key.
That's right. Discipline is
the key. It determines so much in your life.
West Indies need.
Yes.
And when I look on the TV and I see Reefer, Samin.
Yes.
And the other guy saying that all he does play with the dark shades on. Is that the Trinidadian guy?
Ravi Rampal, the bowling coach.
That's Ravi Rampal?
Yeah.
All I see those guys do is pull in a chain.
Oh, dear.
We don't need them things.
No, you need to win. You need to.
We've got a lot more positive because we're all over the world.
Yes.
We're all over the world watching cricket and things, and you should got these positive things in you.
But Stephanie,
Sammy up top and Sammy down there got a fierce drag down.
We don't need that.
We don't need that.
Stephanie,
we don't need that.
Stephanie,
yes,
it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I'm going to try and call Sayaka. I'm sure he would be enjoying this conversation.
Every every night I listen to you, Mr. Mason. Then a night I don't, and I tell myself I got to get on to you.
Of course.
At some point in time, because the talk and thing that I hear and listen,
yes,
okay, it's got you mad with some of these callers.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
You can imagine. Yes. Then they should be talking something different and better. Uplift the team.
Yes, uplift the team. All right, Stephanie, thanks for your contribution. I'm going to try and get Sayaka, I'm sure he has your number and we'll speak. Thanks for your contribution. All right. We're going to sneak another call in before we go back to Karen Powell and, of course, Dr. Ford and of course, Basil Butcher. I'm sure that Dr. Ford is very happy that I've opened the lines early and get the people to talk. I'm sure Dr. Ford will call me at the end of the show and says, Andrew, I enjoyed it. Hello, welcome, Miss and guests.
Hi, good evening to you.
Oh, with your very, very calm voice. How are you? How are you?
Well, I'm trying to stay calm despite whatever.
Things are rough, eh? Let's talk. Talk to me,
Mr. Mason.
Yes.
Do you accept that cricket is a microcosm of our wider society?
Yeah. Very much so. Okay.
The lack of discipline.
People don't train anymore. That desire to work. And I'll tell you this just before you can do. You know why Shivner and Chandrapal did so well as a cricketer? It was a result of his circumstances, you know. I mean, I actually went to, is it Myako? I'm not quite sure the village that he's from.
Myconi.
Unity. I went to Chandrapal's home, you know. And boy, I mean, I said to myself, but this is what he came from. So he understood the importance of work. Colin Croft. Bowling for Ghana on those flat pitches. That discipline, sir, is out of our cricket.
Mm-hmm. It's out of our society to some extent.
Society, that's true.
And you know, Mr. Mason, you have a quote. You say that the fear of criticism
is a kiss of death in the courtship of achievement.
All right. But you know what? I would suggest not necessarily the fear, because, I mean, it's okay to have a little fear of criticism.
Yeah.
But I think it is when you are resentful and antagonistic towards criticism.
Mm.
You know, it's one of the most serious human flaws there is, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And it is so progressive if you can, in a, you know, intelligent and humble way, accept and critique criticism and see it as a path towards growth.
Is anyone, though, that would have said something about you that you don't talk to at all, caller?
If there's anyone that has said something to me...
You know, that you found to be... maybe offensive that you don't talk to that person?
Yes. I take a very sort of stern line with people who think that they have a right to be disrespectful. You know, for instance, there was a guy in town some time ago. What do you call me? Some years he called me. But I'm an old dad. I said, excuse me, I'm not your father. But you got to tell me to call you. And, you know, if you take that attitude, quite frankly, I basically draw a line and, you know, I think that I have a right to demand to be treated with some decorum. But a quick comment on Dr. Shallow's comment.
Mm.
Andrew, I find him so disappointing. And in my opinion, that is reflective of that same kind of mindset where you see criticism as your enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this thing about persons being insular. Would you say that about St. Lucians who also criticize Sammy as well? That sort of criticism, with all due respect, I find Dr. Shallow's comments to be quite shallow, really.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the reaction you get from Israel. Anytime you comment on their behavior, you're being anti-Semitic. Right?
And Carla, before you go on, though, I mean, I did a show from Jamaica. I'll tell you this. Dr. Shallow may not know this, but a lot of people in Jamaica and across the Caribbean were quite upset with the comment. Eh? I hope that he knows that. People were not happy at all about it. I was surprised by it. He's normally a very measured man.
Okay. Well, I suppose none of us is perfect, though. But I hope that Sammy is man enough to understand that we as a people are hurting, and there's a sense that he has a very difficult task on his hand dealing with his current batch. But altogether, I mean, it's extremely, they're like an embarrassment. It's a kind of disaster. The gentleman earlier, very articulate, was commenting on the history of Caribbean cricket.
Kieran Paul, he's still very much with us, listening to you as well.
Right. Good evening. Good evening to you, Mr. sir. Powell? I'm very impressed. Mm-hmm. I used to cuss you as a cricketer sometimes, but
really,
I'm very impressed with your thoughts and your capacity to articulate ideas and so on. I'm impressed so far.
Mm.
Right. But in closing, though, I think that we need to understand the importance of working to inculcate certain important aspects and principles that helps to develop the character of our people.
Right.
To me, this is key. Because if you put a clown to be a cricketer or a clown to be a truck driver, whatever, you will get clown results.
Right.
So we must focus on the development of the person. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to become about cricket.
Thanks for your contribution.
Thank you as well.
All right. We're going to pause for business calls. No, Ronnie Clark. When we come back, we're going to get a reaction, of course, from our good friend Kieran Paul. Mason and guests brought to the association with the good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best show of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. Just sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Now, you've heard a lot. We've had several calls. We're just around 7:30. We're going to try to link with Franklin Stevenson for a quick comment pretty soon. But Kieran, when you look at it, though, I want to talk. I know Dr. Ford started a discussion earlier about techniques. Are we that flawed in our batting? I mean, I saw the West Indies team on a pretty dodgy pitch in Barbados. Not so good in Grenada. I thought the best pitch we had, in terms of bunks and that kind of thing, was the Sabina Park. What's going on with our techniques, Kieran?
I think your previous caller summed it up well. We are a product of not just our societies, but a product of our environment as well. I mean, you look at the types of pitches, for example, that were played on. And that's for international cricket. So I'm sure you can appreciate that the pitches in domestic regional cricket won't have that level of preparation. So imagine how those would play. So if you're asking guys to learn to bat and score big runs, bat long periods of time and be consistent in those types of environments, then you can't get A-class quality. And so you can't put out A-class quality to the world because That's not what you're preparing for, what you're developing.
Oh, I see. Let's look at someone like the young Louis. I mean, he's from St. Kitts and Nevis. Your new vision. What is he doing wrong technically, in your view?
I think it's quite a few things. I think first of all, people have to understand that. I think up until 19, he was actually a leg spinner. So batting is not.
Oh.
Yeah, remember he played for the West Indies under 19 as a leg spinner.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh.
So batting has not always been his forte. Having said that, I think that technically there are quite a few, I guess, areas that you could target him. I think personally, probably with the short ball or with the ball coming back at him, he sort of plays away from the body, so you can sort of get him LBW bowled, but still caught behind feeling for the ball wide as well. So I just think that more so than anything, we need coaches that could develop these techniques, spot these weaknesses early as well, and try and help these young players to rectify these weaknesses.
Tell me about the captain of the side. You're talking, of course, Roston Chase. What is technical deficiencies, in your view?
I think more so than anything, it's probably because he's been playing a lot of T20 cricket. He's been away from red ball cricket for a long time. So to come back to playing against a ball that's moving, because remember, the white ball doesn't really do much, you know, so you can get away with a lot of things in 50 over T20 cricket that you can't necessarily get away with in red ball cricket. So I think it's just, I guess, refocusing his game and his efforts towards that format of the game.
Share hope? Is he doing anything wrong technically in your view? Your favorite batsman?
I'm not sure about that, but
we speaking about white ball cricket or red ball cricket?
Red ball.
Yeah, I think Shoaib has always had like a thing with the ball coming back.
Ooh.
Yeah, hey. So that's always been sort of how we would try and get him out against the short ball.
Short ball? You don't think he likes short bowling?
Well, nobody likes short bowling. Some people just play better than others.
Mm-hmm. Do you think he plays it well, or you're disappointed with the way he plays it?
He plays it well enough. I don't think it's his strength, but he plays it well enough.
Okay, I see. All right. Stay with us. We've got another, 20 minutes left in the show. There's a big election coming up very soon. I know that Dr. Ford is very keen to vote for Jeff Brooms, who joins us for a couple of minutes. Jeffrey, I know that you were in Bull World waiting, but let me apologize to you. We're going to try to talk to some of the other candidates next week. There's this big AGM on. Jeff, how are you?
Good evening, Andrew. I accept your apology because, like I told your producer, you had me a bit disappointed with it for so long. Mm. Anyway, but I'm fine. I came to the borough at my regular spot. I grew up here as a schoolboy. And within walking distance of Common Mayor School. So when I finish here, I'll go off to Common Mayor to the meeting.
Right. Okay. Yes, sir. Why do you want to be president of the BCA?
That's an excellent question, Andrew. It's amazing. You said it so well. Why do I want to be president of BCA? Listen, I have been involved in cricket. I've worked for cricket just all my adult life. And I believe right now there are lots of holes in Barbados cricket that I think I have some answers to help fill them. Mm. And I go based on my track record, I believe, and picking up all four candidates, we've held positions.
Mm.
Positions are things that are given to you, either through election or appointment. Mm-hmm. Some have been captains, we've all been board members at different times. Calvin's been there for a long while. I was there for more than a dozen years. I think Phil had about six, and Candy about four. I want to say up front, these three guys are all my friends, and I have respect for all three of them. Mm. We get along well. I've known Calvin from the time in his 1960s when he came to join me at Corrigan Parish School. I've known Candy, he's a good spike stoma like me, and I manage Phil. So I have no hope, but we're just running for a position. So when people tell me run against somebody, I'm not running against anybody, and run for a position.
I see.
And I'll tell you my track record. We've all had positions. But what have we done? What was holding those positions? That is what I'm basing my candidacy on. Now, I if you want to look at it, I initiated and brought the under 13 cricket into this country. I brought under 19. I started the Women's Irish Walker Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who, we taught a lot. I was deputy principal one time at a school. Mm. And when it came to CXC, our best batsman of the team, his mother removed him from playing cricket. She wanted him to study for examinations.
Mm.
And I think we can, that put an idea into my head, which when I became chairman of youth cricket, of youth development. I started a program where children would come to the St. Michael's School on evenings to get some support. Those children were playing cricket. Mm. I remember Craig Brathwaite would leave Common Mayor and come to St. Michael's to get some assistance with the studies that he was preparing to do. And I feel this is where my vision will be in terms of the Evan Leavitt Center of Excellence, which I think is not doing its job.
Mm.
It can't be there just for practice. That has to be developed into a full-fledged academy to let people learn about cricket and work on technical difficulties. Only a couple of weeks ago, I was in Tony King's office, and he recalled something that I didn't remember. That we were having, there's all this talk that Barbadian batsmen cannot play spin bowling and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
I created a spinner's clinic.
Mm.
It was held at Bank Springs. We got the facility that came to work with it. No.
Mm-hmm.
And we had George Linton, we had David Murray doing some keeping, and we had Tony himself. And so Evan, he wasn't Evan at the time, in the tracks, so working these boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went into the youth tournament. Shirley Clark came out of that spinner's clinic and broke Brian Lara's record. Yes. Everything they brought in spinners, I would turn to Keith Boyce and say, Keith, and Keith would say, oh yeah, and surely like meat and drink for him.
Yeah,
that is youth cricket. Right. Women's cricket. I feel there's a need for a women's league in this country, and it should be schools based. I had this conversation with Roddy actually just a few weeks ago. It has to be schools based.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with linking three or four schools together and some of the senior players and work as a team. It's not a school team, but a team that's schools based. You may not call it school's name. There's Northern Zone, Eastern, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
That is women's cricket. Mm. A third thing, I think there's so many Barbadian cricketers that represent our country with honor and dignity, and they have never been able to get the lucrative money from the, like, played test cricket. I did something when I was in charge of the benefit committee. I created four benefits, one for Winston Reid, one for George Linton, one for Lawrence Maxwell, one for Leslie Reefer. And doing that, took a match to New York City, took a match to Lauderhill in Florida, and took one to Hartford, Connecticut. I believe we need to show some respect for our and resume an annual benefit.
Mm.
Fourthly, sure. I'm so strong, my view. I was on my couch listening to something. I heard Ricky Ponting being inducted into the Australian Cricket Hall of Fame. And we do not have a Hall of Fame in Barbados. Why do we not have a Hall of Fame? And it's the easiest thing to do. It's a revenue stream.
Yes, it is.
I've had the honor of going to the Baseball Hall of Fame in New York.
Mm.
And they make money. We have a product. It's not we have put on any big fancy dinners and that kind of stuff. It is the people that we play the cricket for, the sobers and the witches and the nurses and the hunts, that we need to be honoring. And so I'm very clear my perspective.
Mm.
I'm not running just for a position. I've had positions all my life.
Jeff, how do you respond to those who say that you're too old?
I'm too old? Yes. I'm Condé Regney, the president right now, I'm younger than Condé.
Mm.
I'm younger than Condé.
How old are you, Jeffrey?
I'm a young 71.
I thought you were older, actually.
No. But I still live a very active life.
Mm.
I'm not too old. Every week I teach three three different locations every week. People don't do that.
Jeffrey, people say that you're controversial.
But there's nothing wrong being controversial. People that just blow with the flow, they're spinning top in mud.
Mm.
People with ideas.
Yes.
I call controversial.
Yes.
The most controversial person we've ever seen is the greatest of them all, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I don't know, things that want changing should be changed.
I see.
Things that want upholding should be upheld. And I have no problem with that label calling me controversial. That's fine with me. Because I am not a follow pattern person.
No.
I'm not a follow pattern person. I come with ideas. And like I said, everybody, at the end of this election, the membership will decide.
Mm-hmm.
If my track record and my ideas and my availability of time, like I said, I was said to Lord Inmate, is accepted by the membership, I will win.
Oh.
If they are not accepted by the membership, I will lose.
My final question.
It could go either way. Now, my thing about it, right? I also, the other point I want to make, and this may be controversial.
Yes.
I find it difficult to believe that in 2025, president of an organization like Barbados Cricket League, a Barbados Cricket Association, or Barbados Cricket League as well, but Barbados Cricket Association. The original league is in my head. I just finished writing a book about Barbados Cricket League, by the way. The president of Barbados Cricket could be one who still maintains a full-time day job.
Oh.
That does not make sense to me.
Okay. Interesting.
We need people who have availability of time, you know, and to work closely with the CEO, who must run the office, the secretariat.
Mm.
And you cannot have a situation where every board member feels he has a right, he or she has a right to go into the sector and tell them what to do and try to take over the job. I don't believe in that. The president and the board should be about policy. And then the president or interacting with the CEO as the representative board, as the CEO representing the secretariat, make sure that there's a seamless transition from policy to execution. Leadership is easy. It's not easy, no. Because leaders, and I'll tell you why, Andrew, the controversial thing again.
Mm.
What is leadership? Leadership, really, in my view, is having to make a decision between two competing entities that are equally deserving.
Oh, interesting.
That are equally deserving. And you cannot, wherever you go, you'll be right. And wherever you go, you'll be wrong. That's why you must be based on principle and integrity.
Final question. Where are you going to get this support, Jeffrey? Where are you going to get the support? Yes.
Where will I get it from?
Yeah, talk to me.
It got to be from the membership. Listen,
have you been campaigning?
I will answer it two ways. It would be dishonest of me to say that I've not been campaigning. But what does campaigning mean? Because of that, even when you campaign, you cannot go with any fear or any clear anything, because right. People have a way of telling you what they think you want to hear.
Oh, I see.
And I'm very clear in my mind. If 10 people tell me that they're voting for me, I anticipate 4 or 5 will not be voting for me.
Oh, I see.
I'm very clear. I know I've done a lot of work in the schools. I've done a lot of work in the clubs. And I have a number of friends who are members. I'm reaching out. I'm putting my track record out there, and my articulated vision, and my availability of time. Those are my three tenets.
All right. Jeff, thanks very much for coming through and talking to us. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your evening. All right. We're going to take our final commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go back to the panel. We also would love to go to St. Vincent and talk to Keswick Williams. The Emancipation Cricket Festival is on in a couple of days' time. Mason and guests brought in association with our good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Gentlemen, I'm gonna start back with. I'm going to start back with you, Basil Butcher, Senior. You think we can do better against Pakistan? Basil, talk to me.
I hope so. Pakistan, I looked at the team. They have a pretty, on paper, they have a pretty good team. Those wickets in Florida are not that conducive to making a whole lot of runs. So it's going to take some discipline from our batters. And our bowlers also to pull it off. And, Kyron spoke about something that's often overlooked. Guys are losing. How is that mentally affecting them in their focus? You're part of a losing team. You see it in all professional team sports. And if you remember on your last show, the good doctor called in and spoke about that, about the mental wellness of the players because, they're getting beat down from all corners of the region and around the world for their play. So I hope that we can stop this slide.
Yes.
Because there will be louder calls for the rolling of heads.
Louder calls. Doc, do you think we can pull it around Pakistan? They're not Australia. You think we can beat Pakistan, Doc?
Pakistan is closer to us ranking.
That's true.
They also have an inconsistency that is similar to ours, but not as grave. We'll have a better chance. But, Pakistan comes with good bowling, really talented batsmen as well. So it will take some effort. But being competitive and being all our own against Pakistan would be a welcome statement if we can do it.
Karen? Can we beat Pakistan? Talk to me about that.
I would hope so. I think this is one of the opportunities where we should be able to beat a touring team. I think it's a 3-match series, 2-1. That would be good.
I hope so. All right, let's go to St. Vincent and talk to Keswick Williams, the former West Indies T20 cricketer. Big Emancipation Cricket Festival starts July the 31st. Hello, Keswick. How are you?
I am wonderful, Mr. Mason. I'm good.
All right. Okay. You're getting ready for the action in a couple of days' time. Tell us about it.
Yes. Of course. I'm getting ready for that. It's gonna be wonderful. We're anticipating a good crowd, a good support from, the people from St. Vincent and the Grenadines and also the people from the Caribbean.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the players that are coming.
Say that again?
Tell me about some of the top players that are coming. I understand that Carlos Brathwaite will be there along with Warwick and others.
Yeah, Carlos Brathwaite will be here. Andrew Fletcher, Kyle Mears, Steven Taylor, Aaron Jones, Oba Spinier, John Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Shakib Al Hassan.
Oh, that's good. You
know, out of Bangladesh. So, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, really dominate world cricket. And to have him on the show just seems to participate in that Emancipation Festival means a lot to us.
Yeah. And so far, I've noticed there's been a lot of promotion of it. Your social media people are doing a great job. When are these cricketers coming in? The top boys, are they in the country already?
Some of them came in already. Some of them came in today, and some coming in tomorrow. Most of them coming in tomorrow on the 30th, right?
Right.
Yes, some of them coming in tomorrow. Some came today, some coming in tomorrow. So we're really happy for it. I mean, it is something that we wanted to do for a while, and now that it's happening, we're so grateful for it, because not only we're happy that it's happening for St. Vincent, we're also happy that the youngsters are going to get a chance to play with world-class cricketers, guys who have played test cricket, guys who have played T20 cricket, one-day cricket, and who have basically dominated at every format. So it's a great feeling.
Yeah, and in addition to the cricket, I know with interest you're going to be having lots of artists performing as well, some of your top guns there from St. Vincent. Is that right?
Yeah. We have some good youngsters playing in St. Vincent. What happened is that the top guns from St. Vincent that usually play cricket in St. Vincent and do well, like the Sri Lambers, the Kieran Cutter, the Desmond Maloney,
right,
Kenneth Denver, and all of those guys who would usually be playing this kind of cricket, they are out playing for St. Vincent in the Windward Island tournament. But what I'm grateful for is that even though those guys are out, we still have a lot of under-19 players here and local players here that play good cricket, so they would be on the show.
I see. Just before you go, I understand there's going to be wide coverage. It's going to be on local radio, NBC, and also it's going to be on Floor Sports as well. I'm told that. If that's the case, that's a great audience there, I would think. Floor Sports?
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that I'm happy for, because Vincent and talent is going on show against international talent. And it's only going to bring out the best in these guys. And we have youngsters that's going to play. You never know who is watching cricket, especially when it's streaming. You just never know who is out there that is looking.
Mm.
And a scout can be looking. Mm. Someone who have a really good eye for talent can see a Vincent and cricketer and give them that start. And also, this will only be good for St. Vincent in terms of cricket. You never know who's going to watch the game and say, look, St. Vincent have a lot of talent. I think we should take a CPL team to St. Vincent. I think we should take an academy there. I think we should put this in place so that cricketers in St. Vincent can have a chance to train at the best facilities and give them an opportunity to play wherever they want to play in the world. Because, as you know, Mason, you don't have to play for West Indies anymore to make
no,
a good
no,
league.
No, you don't have to.
You know,
you're
there's
right.
So much leagues around the world. So different avenues where players can go and make a good living out of cricket. So this is something that I'm very happy for.
Final question to you. I understand the legends are coming as well. There's a big forum on Saturday. Cricket is a public good. Your Prime Minister will be on there, along with Sir Clive Lloyd, I'm told, the Honourable Derek Murray, the pride and joy of St. Vincent, of course. We're talking Michael Finlay and Sir Andy Roberts. So you got some big guns there coming to St. Vincent.
Yeah, you know what these legends mean to the Caribbean, Andrew. And we know what these legends mean to St. Vincent and to the Caribbean, and to the Prime Minister in particular, because he's one of those type of guys that is, you know, when it comes to history, he's so sharp. The dates that he remember when it comes to speaking about cricket and these legends is just amazing. You know, and yes, they would be on panel. And what I'm grateful for is that before I played for West Indies, I never had the chance to meet these legends.
Right.
And these youngsters who are playing, you know, cricket in St. Vincent, local cricket, they're having a chance to go side by side with the guys who made it possible for them to stand up and say, we were once kings in cricket in the past. Yes, we can do it again. Yes, there's a lot of room for improvement. We're not doing the best right now, but there's always an opportunity out there where we can go and perform and make West Indies cricket great again.
So, finally again, July the 31st to August the 3rd, Emancipation Cricket Festival in St. Vincent.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Well, I'm on my way down. Thanks for the invitation. I'm going tomorrow. I'll be not only doing some radio and television, but of course, I'm going to be doing some work as well with the Legends. I've been asked to moderate that discussion on Saturday. It's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I want to thank you and your Prime Minister for inviting me.
Of course. This one has been possible without you, Mason. I mean, as long as I'm on a committee that have cricket and we're going to do something of this magnitude, I have to have you on.
Yes, thanks for the confidence that you've placed in me, Keswick. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and I see you tomorrow. Keswick? Okay, oh, he's gone. All right, we got just a couple of minutes left. I note with interest that Kieran Powell, you never got an invitation to St. Vincent. Are you not? You're not good enough anymore, Mr. Powell.
No.
I see. Oh my golly. Well, we just.
what happened? Andrew.
Yes.
Andrew, I'm an avid viewer of Kieran's podcast.
Yes.
And if you hear the unfiltered good critique, you would understand why he would not be invited in certain areas.
Can you explain that? Please tell me more. We got two minutes left.
Oh, I saw a couple of his podcasts recently where he was giving an analysis of the cricket. He put forward some really good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He gave critique of things that have been going on in his neck of the woods where he played, the administrators of the cricket, where you could discern who he was speaking about, and those are things that when you start saying those things out loud, you're not invited into areas, which is unfortunate because it's not like he was telling lies.
Mm. What's the name of the podcast?
What's the name of your podcast, Kieran? What was it called?
It's called Powered Play. You can find it on YouTube.
Okay.
I'll send a link to you, Andrew.
You tell me.
I recommend it highly. Andrew.
And what is it every week? Is it a weekly thing?
No, yeah, it's more than weekly. Probably we're going to have Red Spirera on tomorrow.
Actually. Oh, wonderful. All right. Good. So when are you going to have Darren Sammy?
Probably after you. You're
well, of command. Well, Darren Sammy being on Mason, I guess is as likely as Dr. Ford becoming Prime Minister of Barbados. that's a very difficult assignment.
Dr. Ford, you're that far off from the
Dr. Ford, I know he's very close to the Prime Minister, Mia Amor Motley. Dr. Ford, you defend yourself before we go.
Well, you need to have a desire for
the poll. All right.
He's busy at the moment.
He's busy at the moment. Well, we got half minute left on the show. Thanks very much indeed, of course, to you, Basil Butcher Jr., for coming and talking. Thanks, Kieran Powell. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford. It was great hearing from young Joshua Doran and, of course, Jeffrey Dujon, who made some very interesting comments. And towards the end of the program, we heard from Jeff Brooms, who was running to be president of the BCA. And last but not least, Keswick Williams, that Emancipation Cricket Festival starts on July the 31st. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brighter tomorrow. It's good night.